Our reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, beginning with the 13th verse. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Kevin. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that your Spirit now would in fact fill this place, and that you would help us to understand the balance between freedom and discipline, and how our lives can become works of art. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Am I on? I am. Okay. Okay. I always love listening to Bubba talk about nature. This is not in my script, by the way. Listening to him at the beginning of worship, and he's talking about nature, and oh, it's beautiful how the Lord has watered the earth with that gentle rain. And really? And what he doesn't say is the way we experienced it, at least at our house. Like last night's gentle rain or the night before's gentle rain, right? What he should be saying is, oh yeah, I just love the way that the Lord works in nature, right? And how he sent that 75 mile an hour wind to nearly blow my front windows out. And how the birds were flying with complete desperation. And the evergreen trees were snapping in half. I just love how the Lord works.
Obviously, he loves me more.
Oh, okay. Okay. Does he love you more too? I'm just curious. Anybody? I know he doesn't love Greg and Lynette Painter more then, because I spent half a day sawing down, with my chainsaw, taking down all the trees that went down with that gentle rain the other day. So there is a beauty to creation. But there's also a certain kind of harshness to it as well. And some people would say that that is just the way it is. That's what creation is. And the Christian answer to that would be, no, that's really not just the way it is. That God created the world. And when he created it, Scripture says it was good. And then when he topped off creation with the formation, the building of Adam and Eve, and when Eve was done, he said it was not just good, but it was very good. But that then, in the exercise of the freedom that God gave Adam and Eve, eat of all this, just don't eat of that, says the story. A creation that was very good fell into chaos. Starting with creation's steward, Adam, and his partner, Eve, and threw them into the rest of everything else. And so gentle rains become violent storms. We've been misusing our freedom ever since. We've decided that often in our sinfulness as human beings that freedom is about more our self-expression than it is the desire to give that freedom away in service instead. And Paul today calls us to the idea that freedom is meant to be something that's used and given away for a greater purpose other than your own self-centered desires. That's the point of freedom. We have soldiers who put their lives on the line every day. We have police officers, right, who put their lives on the line every day in order that we might retain that freedom. But our calling, says Scripture, is to then use that freedom, not for our own selfish self-expression, but to, in fact, give it away, to give your freedom away in acts of selfless service. The paradox is this. When we give our freedom away, we actually become more free. We actually become more free. Because if we use our freedom for our own selfish desires, all we do is build our own jail. That's all we do. But when we give it away, the Lord literally opens up the universe to you. The great Christian apologist, grew up a Hindu, Ravi Zacharias, written several books, one of the most foremost Christian apologists out there. Now, what an apologist is that's a really smart person, a Christian, who goes and he discusses the faith and defends the faith in often hostile environments, a lot of times academic environments. And Ravi grew up in the Hindu faith and fell into such despair as a result of lots of things in his life, but it was definitely shrouded and colored by the Hindu faith. He tried to kill himself, failed as a young boy, turned to Christ, and has ever since been writing about the freedom and the love and the transformation that comes from Jesus Christ. In his book, Can Man Live Without God, Ravi tells an interesting story about our tendency as human beings to misuse our freedom in the name of self-expression. It's an interesting little story. He writes this. He says, I remember lecturing at Ohio State University, one of the largest universities in the country. I was minutes away from beginning my lecture, and my host was driving me past a new building called the Wexner Center for the Performing Arts. He said, this is America's first postmodern building. He says, I was startled for a moment, and I said, what is a postmodern building? The host answered, well, the architect said that he designed this building with no design in mind. When the architect was asked why, he said, if life itself is capricious, meaning random, no meaning, no structure, why should our buildings have any design and any meaning? So he has pillars that have no purpose. He has stairways that go nowhere. He has a senseless building built, and somebody has paid for it. To which Ravi answered, so his argument was that if life has no purpose and design, why should the building have any design? That is correct, said the host. And then Ravi asked one more question. Did he do that with the foundation? And the answer, of course, is no, he didn't. You can play all you want on the top, folks, right? But if you ignore the laws of creation in building the foundation, will it stand? It will not stand. Great question. What is our foundation built on? And then upon that, what are we building upon that foundation? That's the question posed to you, to me, today. How are we using our freedom? Is it for random self-expression? Are we building stairs in our lives that go nowhere? Do we have pillars in our lives that have no purpose or meaning? Or are we doing something different? I would submit to you that this architect, in an attempt to make a work of art, has made nothing. Has made nothing. What are our lives like when it comes to that? In the world of music, this is also something we found. In late 20th century music, there was a movement called atonal music. Atonal music. Remember studying atonal music? It was just a joy, wasn't it? Huh? Yeah, right, exactly. Atonal music was what happens, it is the musical version of what this architect tried to do. It is composers who have decided that they're going to try, in the writing of their music, to really break all of the rules of harmony, of rhythm, all that kind of stuff. Which you can do, and I will be the first to tell you that it definitely takes talent to try and play atonal music. But the question isn't whether it takes talent to play it or write it even. The question is, does it actually communicate anything? Because that's the whole point of music, is to communicate. I want to play for you an example of this atonal music. It's from a composer named Ray Tutaj Jr. It's called Dissonant Departure. It's just a guitar. So make sure we got our sound up, Dan. Listen to this. It just makes you want to get up and dance, doesn't it? Huh? What is your immediate reaction to that? Let me ask you this. If I hadn't told you it was an atonal piece composed by a composer, would you have possibly assumed that it was just some five-year-old playing on a guitar? You might have, right? You might have. And so this composer has decided to break the rules and do this. So, okay, that's fine and dandy, but my question is in the use of his freedom to do that, has he benefited anybody else? Probably not very many people, right? I'm pretty sure you're not thinking to yourself right now, I can't wait to get out of here and get on iTunes and buy that piece. Right? Right. Paul says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be, are you awake? You were called to be,
free.
There we go. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, rather
serve
one another humbly in love. Two words in yellow that seem to be at odds with each other. Free, serve. The word is doulos in Greek, slave, to be a slave. We are called to be slaves to Christ. It's a paradox. Jesus sets you free. You are no longer bound by the law in your faith relationship with him. But then he turns and says, serve me, follow me. And by doing so, serve your fellow man. Don't use your freedom to build stairways that go nowhere and pillars that lift nothing up, to write music that doesn't benefit or edify anybody. Just take your life and make it a work of art by putting it back in my hands and let me shape it. And you will serve and you will finally come alive. Anybody recognize that picture? Huh? Every Christmas, right? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Oh, that was bad. Watch this. See if you can sing along with me. Ready? Sound of Music. Do, a deer, a female deer. Re, a drop of golden sun. Faster. Me, a name, I call myself. So, a long, long way to run. So a needle pulling thread, a note to follow, so T. And that brings us back to Isn't that awesome? Listen to you. You are like total Sound of Music nerds. Huh? Isn't that amazing? How that has stuck with people through generations. And folks, it will continue to. This simple little tune. Now, compare that to what we just listened to. Is that going to last? It won't. You didn't even know it existed now. This little tune. And there she is, playing her guitar, and the kids are all gathered around, and the Von Trapp kids, all of a sudden, they can all sing, and it's all in harmony, and they're amazing. Music is easy. Ooh, really? Maybe not so much. Folks, the door of freedom. You only get to the door of freedom by walking on the path of discipline. Freedom and discipline are not at odds with each other. They lead to each other. They work together. They produce works of art together. Now, that's all nice, what we did and we sang or whatever. That's a nice little tune, and we enjoyed that, and I enjoyed listening to you sing it, and that was awesome. But if you want to be a musician at his level, or you, and Bob's too, Bob is a fantastic player as well. That's well beyond doe a deer, a female deer, isn't it? Because what these guys can do is they can not just play music, they can create music. And they can create music on the spot. On the spot. Nothing that we're about to do has been rehearsed. Nothing. Now, when I talk about creating music on the spot, generally the musical art form jazz is associated with that. But the truth is it happens in all forms of music, including what you hear on Sunday mornings. Now, Bubba, you can get up out of your chair now. And quit telling me about how much God loves you more, okay? All right.
Truth hurts.
All right, yeah. Okay. So, when you improvise a solo in a song, are you playing absolutely anything you want?
No.
Explain to them what you're doing.
Well, we set up a foundation, and you say, okay, what key are we going to play in? So we establish a key.
Okay.
And then the foundation comes from major scales, minor scales, arpeggios.
And within the song, it's a chord structure.
There
right?
is a structure
a
that
series
you follow.
Of chords, right? Bob, play a 1-4-5 structure in C just real quick. 1-4-5. About 90% of all rock and roll music comes out of somewhere in that structure right there. Case in point. Right? Okay? All right. So, and she's having a good old time already. But in order to do what they're going to do today, it takes discipline to get to that place. He talks about scales. Okay? All right? C, D, E, F, G, A. B, and in between you have the flats and the sharps, C sharp, right, F sharp, all that kind of stuff. He knows all those scales. Somebody yell one out. A minor. Bob, can you also do A minor? Yell another one out. There it is. How about F harmonic minor? How about D aeolian mode?
I can do that.
How many scales and modes are there approximately? I'm not even sure, right?
12 of each.
Yeah.
12 majors, 12 minors, 12 Dorians, 12.
Right. There's somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 70.
12 times 12 times 12 times 12.
And then there are variations of each one of those. Harmonic minor, there's the blues scale, there's the dominant scales, which you hear, all this kind of stuff. In other words, how much did you have to practice to get to where you are at right now?
Hours upon hours upon hours upon hours.
Thousands
upon hours.
Of hours. Did it even physically hurt?
Absolutely.
You ever cut your fingers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's hours of time at the chiropractor, battles with carpal tunnel. There's physical therapy as you get older. Yeah, there's a few things go on.
And God loves him.
And
anyway.
God loves me more.
It's just a matter of time, right, folks? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the point is that what you take for granted every Sunday, for example, when we're playing, has come about because he, and Bob too, have submitted themselves to the discipline of not just playing music, but learning music. Knowing you perceive it as easy, but you have no idea what it took to get there. Discipline leads to freedom. Why does he have the ability to use freedom and create? Not just play, but create? Because they embrace discipline. And this is what Paul calls us to. We use our freedom to embrace the discipline of following Jesus Christ, and he will form you and shape you and mold you and transform you. And it will not always be pleasant, and there will be times when it's painful. But he will turn you into something that can exercise freedom in profound ways, very profound ways. These guys are not just music players. They're musicians, and there's a difference. Music players play music. Musicians know. They know it. Paul would later say this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What does he say? Against those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's right. In step with the Spirit. So the idea here is that if we embrace those fruits, which are all expressions of love, right? Love is the highest form of obeying the law. If you love your neighbor truly, there is no law for you because you're expressing it in its highest form. And you'll express it more than just the letter of the law. You'll go well beyond the letter of the law, well beyond it. That's the challenge, to keep in step with the Spirit. Let's go ahead and play again now, Bob and Bubba, and let's give an example of some improvisation, okay? Okay? Again, zero rehearsal, none. This song earlier, right? You probably hear the melody going in your head. He's not playing that. He's playing something completely different. Okay, now stop. Bob, are you playing, I'm just curious, are you playing the chords strictly as they're written? You are not. You rule breaker. But you're not breaking the rules, are you? They're there. They're there on the sheet in front of you, but you're not breaking them. What you're enhancing them, aren't you? Right? Where there's maybe a C major, maybe he's adding a 2, or he's adding a 7. He's adding another note in there. Maybe he's introducing some dissonance that he can then resolve. He's doing all those kinds of things, very subtle things. Bubba does the same thing. Even hack musicians like me do that when I play. And that's the difference between something that sounds rudimentarily like music and something that really sounds like music. It's a really beautiful thing. Jesus would say this. He would say, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to what? Fulfill them. And how did he fulfill them? He expressed love in its absolute highest form. He sacrificed his own freedom for the sake of others. This is love in its highest form. Freedom isn't something you merely attain, folks. And it's not something you merely retain either. It's a muscle you exercise. Freedom is the tool of love. The question is, do you exercise it? Do you use it? Jim Newmiller could very easily take that same 1989 Toyota, he could fix it up himself, get it all ready to run, he could turn around and he could sell it on Bizman Online and make a nice little profit. He has every, he would be completely within his rights to do that, wouldn't he? Absolutely. But he has chosen instead to take his gifts, his passion, him and his wife together, and raise what they have to an art form. And this is what is harmony. This is the art of experiencing God. Instead, he chooses to take that and to draw in other people and to teach them, and thereby teach them about God and connect them to Christ and produce something far greater than just a pickup. Right? Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, I know. You're going to just keep deflecting, but good for you. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That freaked people out when he said that. You know why? Because they assumed that the Pharisees were the highest form of obedience to God. He says, no. Not even close. You know why? Because they don't love. They don't love. Oh, they wanted to make sure they obeyed every little rule, but there was no love. Read the Gospels, you'll see. It says, learn to love people. And the law won't even apply to you. Do you know what St. Augustine said? He said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor like you love God. Apart from that, do whatever you want. Think about that. If you're doing those two things, there's no law against you. That's where freedom leads. That's where freedom leads. And so my challenge to you today is this. Are you willing to sacrifice your life and your freedom in service to others? Are you willing to take what you have, like Jim, and raise it to a work of art level? That's the challenge. Tina Turner did a song, What's Love Got to Do with It? Know that song? Yeah, you do, you nerds. You know that. What's love got to do? Come on, got to do with it. Come on. What's love? Secondhand. Look, they got the chicken necks going over here. Got to do with who needs a heart if a heart can be. But is that true? It's an expression of love when it's hurt, right? The most courageous thing you'll ever do in your life is love. The most courageous thing you'll ever do, because you will expose yourself to pain and disappointment and frustration, betrayal, all those things. French novelist Francois Sagan expressed this idea of love and freedom in an interview she did in Le Monde magazine. She expressed that she was satisfied with her life because she was free. That she had lived her life and had no regrets. And then the interview asked, then you have had freedom the freedom that you wanted. And she said, yes. I was obviously less free, though, when I was in love with someone. But one's not in love all the time. Apart from that, I'm free. But let me ask you, which state is better? Author Tim Keller and pastor says Francois Sagan is right. A love relationship limits your personal options. Again, we are confronted with the complexity of the concept of freedom. We only become ourselves in love. And yet, healthy love relationships involve mutual, unselfish service, a mutual loss of independence. Human beings are most free and alive in relationships of love. And if you know those relationships of love, you're more than happy to sacrifice your freedom and service, aren't you? Your life becomes a work of art when you use freedom that way. And you become most free. It's an amazing paradox. It really is. You finally become the you God made you to be. Stand for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And may you take your freedom now this week specifically, and may you seek to use it to serve others, not yourself, and thereby experience